I don't know about you, but this has been a very difficult week for me because of the shootings in Las Vegas. I have felt absolutely incredibly sad at for all of those who have been experienced loss this week, and for those who were injured, and for those who witnessed the horror of what went on. It has been really hard for me. I have felt loss, and I have felt sadness, and I have felt disbelief, and I felt like I have had the wind taken out of my sails. And I've kind of not known what to do with what has happened, or what to do with my feelings that I'm having inside. And so I kind of wanted to just begin today by telling you that it's okay to be sad. That it's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be frustrated, and it's okay to be brokenhearted. Because I think sometimes as metaphysicians, because we know the power of our thought and the power of our spoken word to create our world, that we think that it's not okay or we're not allowed to feel those feelings. To feel sadness or to feel loss or to feel angry or frustrated. But the truth is, all of that is part of this human experience. All of that is part of being a human being on this planet Earth. And it's not the only part. And so I invite you to feel the feelings as they come up when things like this happen and to allow them to move through you because they are emotions. That means energy in motion. To allow yourself to feel it and to move through your body. It didn't come here to stay. It came here to move. And I love those words of Clarissa Estes when she speaks about despair, which is maybe what some of us have been feeling this week. She says, I do not keep a chair for it. We allow ourselves to feel it, but don't allow it to move in and take root. What is that saying? If you find yourself in hell, don't set up camp there. You know, allow yourself to feel it and allow it to move through you. And then when you've processed those feelings that have come up, let it be a motivator for change. Let those feelings be the motivator for change that this country and that this world is begging for. Let it be a call to you that is a call from the world to make something different happen through your consciousness and through your words and through your actions in this world. And so I think when we have a really catastrophic thing happen in this world, three different things happen for us. I think the first one is we want to make sense of what it is that happened. We want to know why this happened or how it is that this happened and what it is that we can do individually and collectively to remedy it. How do we make sense of this? What is it all about? I think, too, we want to know how to keep an equilibrium or to keep balance when something like this happens. How do we keep a balance between feelings of devastation that are so human-based and the feelings of absolute peace and poise that are deep within us? How do we keep balance between feeling and seeing and sensing as a human and then coming from our spirit instead? How do we keep a balance between our feelings and knowing the truth? Knowing the truth that that infinite presence is at the center and circumference of everything. As at the center and circumference of this exact moment that we find ourselves in. That truth that all is truly well with the souls of every one of those people that perished. That they are wrapped in that light of God right now and all is well with them. How do we keep a balance and know the truth that each of us is on this eternal path of unfolding? That it wasn't just this moment of human existence, but it's an eternal path of unfolding. And the third thing I think that happens for us is we want to know how to maintain faith and maintain hope in the midst of things like this. And while every single one of those are human needs that we have, we also have another need that is so much greater than that, that is a spiritual need, and that is a deep need we have within us to be part of the energy that builds up. part of the energy that builds up. We need to do that as spiritual beings. And so I'm going to address those things today in my talk. And I know that it's really easy to feel helpless and to feel hopeless and to feel impotent when things like this happen. And so Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living, sent out a letter to the ministers this week. And in part of it, he says, now is not the time to succumb to crisis fatigue. That's kind of what it feels like. After the hurricanes and earthquakes and the mists on top of it, it feels like crisis fatigue. He says, now is not the time to succumb to crisis fatigue. We cannot allow ourselves to go numb, turn away, react, or despair. We are in this for the long haul of humanity's awakening. This is a piece of humanity's awakening. It's a piece of our awakening. You are here by divine appointment. You are here to make a difference in this world. You are here to bring the love of the divine into this world in a way that affects good, in a way that affects change, in a way that affects people. You are here to bring a divine intelligence into this world as wisdom. You are here to bring good into this world. You are here to be a healing presence and a beneficial presence to those that are around you. You are here to bring forward that which is love, that which is magnificent, that which is beauty, and that which is love. You are here to bring that into the world. And so in my talk today, I'd like to start by addressing how it is that we keep a balance and equilibrium. I think part of it is we have to recognize, even before we start, that we are living in this 24-hour news loop. And so how do we keep a balance and an equilibrium in that 24-hour news loop? One of the things that we do is we turn off the news. Turn off your news feed. Because you know what happens? It's not like the old days where you turned on the 5 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news and you watched it once. We are bombarded with it over and over and over and over. And it's like living through it over and over and over again. You know, we're doing this class right now. You are the placebo, and one of the things that it was talking about this week is the stress response. Living in fight or flight. We are creating a stress response for ourselves that suppresses our immune system, that makes us age, that makes us not think as clearly, that makes us sick. We can't live in that stress response all the time. So I think we begin by turning that off. I think if you forced somebody to sit and read that all day long and watch the news, you'd call it abusive. But we do it to ourselves. So I think it's important, really, to recognize and to keep a perspective of the real picture. That's not what the news shows you. They show you one most horrific aspect of what's going on, or the most dramatic or sensational, to keep a perspective of the real picture of what's going on. And a part of that real picture is it was one shooter. There were so many people that were helping and assisting and caring and reaching out and doing so many things. I know there's been so many stories about that, reaching out to help people they didn't even know. And so I had a client at the salon this week who her daughter's best friend was at the concert. And the man next to her jumped on her and shielded her with his body. And she was shot in the heel, and he was shot twice in the body. He didn't even know her, and he protected her and shielded her. People reaching out and doing so many things like that. You know, there were so many people in Las Vegas that gave blood that people stood in line for 6 hours to give blood because that's how many people wanted to help. Did you know that there was a GoFundMe account that was started and on Wednesday it had raised $8.4 million? that 64,000 people had donated to it by last Wednesday? And you know what else happened this week? Grandbabies were born. And people fell in love. And people got married, and they're starting this whole life together. And kids went to school for the very first time ever. And there were scientific discoveries that were made this week. And the most people, the second most people ever, were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And one of the people that that was awarded to this week was a group that is called the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. There are people in that organization from over 100 countries. That's what happened in this world this week also. It's so important to keep that perspective when something horrific happens. The good far outweighs the bad. And humanity is so much better than this one shooter. And no matter what the darkness is, the darkness will never win over the light. The darkness cannot win over the light. I think knowing those things and remembering those things helps us keep faith and helps us keep hope and helps us stay in balance. And as far as making sense of what happened, I think it is so complex and there are so many aspects to it, and some of which we will never even know. But I really believe that this is a wake-up call. I think it's a wake-up call to every single person in this country. I think it's a wake-up call to all of us and our responsibility to fix what is not working in this country. I think it is a call for us to move beyond our divisiveness that is so prominent right now. I think it is a call for unity, and I think it is a call for love. I think it is a call for us to do what is ours to do. Every single one of us is being called right now. And every single one of us, our call is different, whatever our call to do is. But each of us is called to do something. And so I'd like to share a story with you that I read this week. It goes like this. Early Friday afternoon, my son Chase's teacher asks her student to take out a piece of paper and to write down the names of four children with whom they'd like to sit next to the following week. The children know these requests may or may not be honored. She also asks the students to nominate one student who they believe has been an exceptional classroom citizen this week. The ballots are privately submitted to her. And every single Friday afternoon, after the students go home, Chase's teacher takes out those slips of paper, places them in front of her, and studies them. She looks for patterns. Who is not being requested by anyone to sit next to? Who doesn't even know who to request? Who never gets noticed enough to be nominated? Who had a million friends last week and none this week? You see, Chase's teacher is not looking for a new seating chart or exceptional citizens. Chase's teacher is looking for lonely children. She is looking for children who are struggling to connect with other children. She's identifying the little ones who are falling through the cracks of the class's social life. She's discovering whose gifts go unnoticed by their peers. And she's pinning down right away who's being bullied and who's doing the bullying. As a teacher, a parent, and a lover of all children, I think this is the most brilliant love ninja strategy I have ever heard of. It's like taking an x-ray of the classroom to see beneath the surface of things into the hearts of the students. It's like mining for gold, the gold being those little ones who need a little help, who need adults to teach them how to make friends, who need adults to teach them how to ask others to play, how to join a group, or how to share their gifts. As Chase's teacher explained this simple, ingenious idea, I stared at her with my mouth hanging open. How long have you been using this system? I said. She said, ever since Columbine. Every single Friday afternoon since Columbine. Good Lord, this brilliant woman watched Columbine knowing that all violence begins with disconnection. All outward violence begins as inner loneliness. She watched that tragedy knowing that children who aren't being noticed will eventually resort to being noticed by any means necessary. And she also decided to start fighting violence early and often with the world within her reach. What Chase's teacher is doing when she sits in her empty classroom studying those lists written by her shaky 11-year-old hands is saving lives. I'm convinced of it. She's saving lives. Chase's teacher retires this year after decades of saving lives. What a way to spend a life looking for patterns of love and loneliness, stepping in every single day and altering the trajectory of our world. We are each called to do something in our world, each called to make a difference. You are called, and I am called. And I believe in this moment we are being called to do something greater than what we've been doing. And so I ask you this question, what is this event that happened this week calling you to do? Is it calling you to write letters to your congressman or to the president of the United States or to governors of other states or to the NRA? Is it calling you to lobby for gun control so that we don't have automatic weapons or bumps in this world? Is it calling you to lobby for increased mental health services in this world? Is it calling you to tell the people in your life that you love them more often? What is this calling you to be? Is it calling you to be kinder or gentler or more loving or more proactive or have more of a voice? What is this calling you to be? And so I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. And I ask you this question. If you had been there and this had been the end of your life, and your life had ended this week, that you had left this earth, is there something you wished you would have done? Is there someone you wished you would have forgiven? Is there a petty grievance you wish you would have let go of? Is there some political divisiveness that you would like to have let go of for those that you care about? Would you have wished you would have reached out to someone you didn't reach out to? Would you have wished I'd said, I love you more? And so I invite you to open your eyes. I think this is a call for outer changes. changes in our cities and changes in our country and changes in our neighborhoods, changes in our communities. I think it is also a call for inner changes, for us to wake up to what's really important inside of us, to do our inner work, to do our spiritual work, to push past the places we've been unwilling to push past before this, to work through the things we've been unwilling to work through. And so I invite you to close your eyes one more time and to ask yourself, in light of what happened this week, how can I make an impact? How can I make a positive difference? And I invite you to open your eyes again. Clarissa Estes, who is a poet, a Jungian psychoanalyst, and post-traumatic recovery specialist, says, "We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but it only takes a small, determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. One of the most calming and powerful actions you can take to intervene in a stormy world is to show up and show your soul. You are invited to stand up and show your soul. You are invited to let your spirit lead you in what you do in your life. The antidote to helplessness and hopelessness is to do something, to use this as a catalyst for change, to use this as a catalyst for your own growth, to do what is yours to do." And so in that letter from Ken Gordon from Home Office, he said, one of the other things he said in that letter was, "The call is clear. Daily we meditate, and daily we do spiritual mind treatment. Daily we speak spiritual truth. We say no to human error, and we say yes to humanity's best and highest possibility. Daily we act and model behavior of kindness and caring. We model behavior that is in alignment with our values and principles." And so know that God is at the center of this moment. And each moment as we walk out into this world, God is at the center and circumference of this moment. And so my invitation to you is to turn off the news, first of all, and to begin to notice the good that is all around you, all day long, and to keep a perspective of the real picture of this world and what's going on, and this country, and your community, the real picture of what's happening in the world. And to do your inner work, to forgive, and to let go, and to meditate, and to pray, and to affirm, and to bring your spirit forward. To ask, whenever you feel disturbed by something that's going on in the world, to ask yourself, what is this calling me to be? Or what is this calling me to do? Because it's always a call to each and every single one of us. We are on this path of growth and evolution. It's always a call to us. And to do something to create a positive impact in this world every single day. Then we will each be being a part of the solution. And then we will each be answering the call of our own soul. And so I bless you and thank you so much for walking this path of awakening and this path of bringing the spirit of love and peace and wholeness and truth into this world in a way that benefits everyone. So blessings to you and thank you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment and affirmative prayer right now. Oh, and how good it is to answer this call of my own spirit to turn within and to remember the truth. Because it gets so overwhelming when I am constantly just looking outside of myself. And so right now we answer that call of our own souls to recognize that divine presence, that one infinite beingness that is life itself, that is this presence of love and peace and wholeness and power and good without end, that one infinite presence that expresses itself in and through and as everything in this universe, that is magnificence itself, that is beauty itself, that is absolute gloriousness, and that just I want to drink in because it is so beautiful and so rich and so full. This is the presence that we live in. This is the presence that we are immersed in at every single moment in our lives. This is the presence that goes before us and leads us into paths of healing and into paths of making a difference and into paths of bringing that presence into this thirsty and hungry world. And so I know today that that divine presence is having its way by means of each of us as love and as peace and as a healing balm for those who need it. That that presence is unfolding itself in our lives as an amazing good, good that we could not even fathom. And I know that there is a call in this country that is being answered right now. That call for unity and that call for brotherhood, that call for connectedness and assisting and helping each other, that call to mend hearts and hold hands of those who are lonely, those who are on the outside, those who do not belong, that there is an awakening happening in this country right now to be and to activate that presence in a whole new way, a way that is beneficial to the whole. And so I know today that we each hear that call of our own hearts and of our own souls, and we answer that call to do what is ours to do. And I know that that is the divine speaking directly to our hearts. And so I know today that we embrace that and we become that change in the world. And how beautiful it is that this ripple effect goes out from us, that change is occurring everywhere today. How blessed we are to be a part of that. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer, knowing that all is truly well now, knowing that each and every person who has passed is wrapped in that light of the divine, knowing that every single person who has and is experiencing loss right now is wrapped in love, and that the love is spoken through the hearts and hands and arms of their friends, of people they don't even know, of strangers on the street. That love is here, and love is real, and love wins. And so I release this prayer, and in gratitude, I just let it be, and so it is.